So yes, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be going through this book that we've been talking about called Meeting Jesus at the Table. And if I was smart, I would have brought my visual aid up, but I didn't. If you haven't gotten a copy of that book, there are copies out on the welcome desk, and I would encourage you to get one because the sermons are going to be lightly related to some of the topics that we talk about in that the authors talk about in that book. And so today, in particular, the authors talk about the multiplication of loaves and fishes, the feeding of the 5,000. But I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start a little earlier with a different kind of feeding, the story from Exodus chapter 16. This story is the story of Moses leading the Israelites out into the wilderness and what happens once they get there. So the 10 plagues have happened. The Israelites have escaped slavery. They've crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And they get out into the wilderness. They haven't even gotten the 10 commandments yet. And they realize, oh, there's no food. What are we going to do? And of course, they start complaining. They start saying, it could have been better for us just to have stayed in Egypt, because at least there in Egypt, we were cared for. Will God provide? And so in Exodus 16, verses 11 through 15, we have God hearing these complaints. And it says, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And in the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there was, on the surface of the wilderness, a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Manna. For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This problem of knowing where their next meal was going to come from, having enough, was a problem that was going to plague the Israelites, not just in the wilderness, but for generation after generation. Will God provide? Will we be able to survive? Will we make it through the wilderness, even in the promised land? Will our crops produce? Will our stores be full enough? Will God provide? And when we think about the Israelites in the wilderness, I don't think that we as Americans really have a context for how difficult it was for them. Because even those of us who have experiences being poor and not knowing necessarily where your next meal is going to come from, we have food pantries here. We have grocery stores that at least have food in them. No, we have ways of getting food. But out in the wilderness, there's just no way of getting food at all. Doesn't matter how resourceful you are. So there's a real fear, a real danger of not surviving and of having to watch other people around you starve or suffer from thirst. Now, we do have one context, I think, where we understand this a little bit, and that's being children. Because as children, we do battle having enough. Are we going to get enough food to eat? Are we going to get enough snacks? And are they going to be the right kind of snacks? Because, you know, I like this kind of goldfish and not that kind of goldfish, right? How many of you have experienced that? I'm not even going to ask. So, and getting enough attention, getting enough socialization, getting enough playtime. As kids, the question of are we going to have enough is a real question. We need these things to survive and thrive as children. And sometimes we get enough, sometimes we get too much, sometimes we get not enough, and it's hard as kids to decide even when you've had enough. I mean, how many of you have sat with kids or were yourselves picky eaters, right? And they don't want to eat enough. Or kids who just gobble down too much of all the wrong things and get belly aches. It's not easy. And so I know a lot of people, when they have a baby, they teach their kids sign language, like a couple signs, I know some folks in my family did this, and one of the signs that they taught was, I'm done, all done. Just like that. So that a baby even can say, I've had enough, I'm full now. And you get to start working that brain on what is enough? What does enough feel like? What does enough look like? So the Israelites, oh, I wanted to say too, there's another way of saying enough, which you also might have learned, the American Sign Language way of saying enough, which is like this. I've had enough, as opposed to all done. So there's a couple ways that they could say enough. And the Israelites didn't have enough. They thought they were going to die in the desert. They didn't have food. And their question was, is God going to take care of them better than the Egyptians? And the Egyptians didn't give them rights, didn't give them wages for their work, but the Egyptians at least gave them food and shelter. They could at least survive. Is God going to give them enough? So I want to go to our gospel reading, Mark 6, because I think this asks a very similar question, the story of the feeding of the multitude. And so this version is in Mark 6, but this story appears in every version of the gospel. And the question behind this that I hear is, will Jesus be able to provide when it seems like there's not enough? I'm going to read Mark 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away to a deserted place. Go out into the wilderness. All by yourselves and rest for a while. For many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like a sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. They said to him, are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. So both this story and the Exodus story are instances of God making a way forward where humans thought there was no way forward. And I hear these stories also trying to teach us to trust in God. That even when it seems like there's not enough, even if it seems like the obstacles are too great, God does provide. God can make a way where there is no way. So instead of giving up, these passages encourage us to reach up to God and to trust in God's own providence, to rely on God, even and perhaps especially in our wilderness places, our deserted places. So the season of Lent takes us into that wilderness place. It asks us to look inward and to discover the places where we might have fallen away from God, and to remember that God continually calls us back. Lent calls us to trust and rely on God more and more. To realize that despite the fact that we have grocery stores and food pantries and we have next day delivery and we have incredible medical facilities and we have restaurants, all this stuff, that God offers us something that we cannot go down the road or click on and buy. As much as we have, we don't have enough without God. And I know we can feel it. You can feel that there's something tugging at you that tells you there's a purpose to life. There's something that tugs at us that says there's more to life than meets the eye. I think there's something, too, that tugs at us and tells us to do something good. But how many times have you done something really good and then realized that wasn't it either? That doesn't solve everything. There's still more to life. Even that is not what life's all about. Elsewhere, Jesus tells us that we are not filled by bread alone, right? We don't get fed by bread alone, but by every word from God. When Jesus multiplies loaves and fishes, it isn't Jesus promising us that our loaves and fishes will always be multiplied, that our bellies will never be hungry. Instead, Jesus is answering and really asking a different question. It's not about, is God going to give us enough stuff so that we're comfortable? But the question is, do we have enough trust in God that God will provide what we truly need? So the Israelites wanted God to give them manna in the wilderness. They didn't know it, but that's what they were asking for. They wanted food. They wanted water. But they found something greater than manna. They found partnership with God. They found a connection to the divine that would end up transforming the way the entire world relates to God and to life itself. But in order to do that, they had to trust in God, and they also had to turn their backs on Egypt. Now imagine for a moment what it looks like from the Egyptians' perspective. Israelites go and they leave, and they can survive on their own. They can't survive on their own. But imagine if the Egyptians had asked the same questions that the Israelites were being forced to ask. Imagine if the Egyptians could have given up on their need to have more stuff, to be more protected in their cities, to build up their national wealth, to get more honor and respect for their pharaohs and leaders. Imagine if instead they realized that they had enough without those things because God wanted to provide for them too. What if that would have made them look at the Israelites differently? What if it would have led them to share what they had instead of exploiting the Israelites? Imagine how that would have changed not only the Israelites, but the entire course of the history of our world if the Egyptians would have realized that God provides. Believing that we don't have enough is a dangerous thing. Believing that there is too much scarcity, that life is a zero-sum game, that we do not have enough unless we get it for ourselves, that ultimately leaves you feeling unsatisfied. But it also leads to resources being taken from people who are really in need. So I mentioned that there are these two signs for enough. There's all done and there's enough. But there's one more sign for enough that I love, and it's this. I'm done. I'm fed up. I've had enough. And that's a totally different kind of enough. And what I want to do is I want to say that kind of enough, that I've had enough of what the world tells me I need. I've had enough of a world that tells me I don't have enough. I've had enough of a world that leaves me spiritually hungry. I've had enough of a world that keeps me fed while others go without. I've had enough of a world that makes us ends in ourselves with nothing to look forward to outside of ourselves and distracts us from our shared community. I want to say enough to the need to keep up with others that leaves me just filled with envy and ultimately leaves me exhausted with the effort of pretending. I want to say enough. I'm fed up with this part of our world. And I don't know how to fix this stuff, but what I do know is that I've had enough. And instead, I want to be fed by God. That's the source I want to go to. I want to go to God who offers us living bread that never leaves us truly hungry. I want to be connected with the God who feeds me so that I can feed other people. I want to be connected with the God who calls me to the table to eat alongside people that the world tells me are my enemies. I want to believe in God's abundance instead of the world's scarcity. And I want to use that abundance not just for myself, but for others, because that's what God did for me. So I encourage you to join me and to say enough to the world and to seek to be fed by God, who knows that you are enough and wants you to have manna for the day. I believe that if we all go to God this Lent, and we renew our focus on what God can provide, then our community will change for the better. Let's go to that source, the source of living bread, the source of manna in the wilderness, the source of loaves and fishes that leave enough for leftovers. So I encourage you, take time to revitalize your prayer this Lent. Maybe download a Bible app and get back into reading scripture. To recommit to being part of this community. To ask how you might serve what God is calling you to serve. Maybe there's another way that God is calling you to reconnect this Lent. But find a way to get fed by God in addition to the food you get every day. And I hope that in so doing, you find that in God's eyes, you are enough and you have enough. Amen.